Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Brooke and Katie team up on The Bold and the Beautiful, Rafe rescues Hope on Days of Our Lives, Puss in Boots gets a twin on General Hospital, and Chelsea and Chloe take on Victor on The Young and the Restless. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jamie Giddens, welcome.
Hello.
Jillian Bowe, welcome.
And welcome to his regime.
Yeah. Melody Akles, welcome.
Hey, hey.
And Mike Jubinville, welcome.
Hi.
If you're welcoming anyone to your regime, just use a condom. That's all.
I said to you.
Well, that's where we're starting this podcast today.
I said welcome.
And we're off. Jamie, what are you thinking of Days of Our Lives this week? Last week, you weren't too happy with the younger set. What's your thoughts on it this week?
Overall? Are you going to give me a specific
just overall.
Line? Okay, Tate's kidnapping feels old school days. I mean, if you're a longtime fan, you know that's that is a tried and true tradition for the Brady and Horton and, you know, progeny. Little Eric and Sammy got kidnapped and Uncle Bo and his mullet saved them. Stephanie got kidnapped and Uncle Bo showed up again with his mullet. Why you have to bring up kidnapping? See, Bo Brady just needs to show up with a mullet. He always saves everybody's kids. Marlena, I did chuckle at this because the dialogue writers, I'm like, own your history, guys. Don't dance around it. Marlena's talking to Teresa and she's like, when Belle was a baby, someone kidnapped her, so I know what you're going through. Someone! Why don't you tell Teresa the truth that her big cousin Sammy snatched that little girl up and sold her on the black market? Someone kidnapped Belle, too. Someone. Okay, Marlena, you tried to hide your family's dirty little secrets like a black Baptist preacher in Atlanta. That's what you're doing, because you know it was your own child who put that girl on the black market. But I'm enjoying that story. I'm also enjoying Jennifer versus Chad, you know, with her going after custody of his baby and them bringing up the fact that the Demiras and the Hortons have such bad blood. Again, I'd enjoy it a little more if they owned actual history. While Jennifer's going over 85 reasons of why the Demira shouldn't raise children, one great line could be, I was married to your brother, so I know he does bad things. But, you know, because of the real life story surrounding that, we can never mention Peter Blake. Peter Blake did get mentioned recently, but they never address, and to me that's just such a glaring omission. Like, if you're really, when she was trying to keep Abby from dating him, that would have been the first thing a mom said. Look, honey, I understand it, that Demira dick can be so tempting, but when I went there, it got so crazy, your dad got put in prison, and I had to fake my death and pretend I was an angel ascending to heaven. Yes, she did. Go look it up. It was that awful Stephanie Cameron joke.
But she had to pretend
that she was ascending to heaven to fake crazy Peter out because Peter had jungle madness. Y'all remember jungle madness old school days?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. The show,
you know why they can't say, you know why they can't.
I know, but I'm just saying, I'm sorry. You know, for the storyline purposes of the show, that's just, you know, these things that people can never say just drive me crazy. We can't mention chemo on The Young and the Restless. We can't mention Steffi and Bill having almost did the uchiku on The Bold and the Beautiful. It's like, if we saw it on screen, you need to be able to say it no matter what behind the scenes reasoning there is. That's my point.
And embrace it sometimes.
But,
Jillian?
But succinctly, I will say now, I know now I'm going to be succinct, Days was not that bad this week. I even kind of enjoyed...
Is that the new barometer?
Yeah. Rafe and Hope's, even their explosion felt kind of retro. Everybody knows the Demiras love some secret rooms. I'm like, Tony, Andre, you didn't check to seal up the secret rooms. You know your daddy got secret rooms all up under the earth and stuff. But I kind of was like, okay, this is classic Days, the hero and the heroine, and everybody knowing Hope ain't gonna bleed out from that flesh wound. Save me. You to go find help. I hope they need to get some gas masks, though, because Lexi caught the cancer when she was down there breathing. You know, when Lexi was under the grass, she caught the cancer down there breathing under the DeBarra tunnel. So, Hope, you know, you better go have a physical. Ask Aunt Kayla to check you out. Make sure your lungs get, you know, cleared out. It was all right. Days was all right. What can I say?
Jillian, what did you think of Hope and Rafe?
I thought it was cool. I just don't understand why they keep doing these standalone episodes. They remind me sort of kind of when God Ain't Light did that before they got the boot. And I, you know, that just makes me a little nervous with them doing that. But it was cute to see Rafe like trying to conquer the demons in his head for Hope. And boy, Hope looks like a glamorous bitch when she got a bullet hole or a hole in her chest, don't she? I'm like, you supposed to be looking like on death's door for Kristen Alfonso. I'm like, days may be under budget, but Kristen Alfonso looked fabulous. But
yes, she did.
She sure did. I was like, aren't you supposed to be like a death's door? She's all, look.
Hope
she just
said, they don't call me fancy face.
Mike, what did you think?
Well, actually, Jamie has a better review than I do.
Jamie's enjoying it, but Mike isn't.
No, seriously. Actually, I liked most of it. But what I've been able to do
Mike's
Jamie, magic
one
TV
of his
strikes
TVs.
Again.
Yeah. So, what I'm seeing for myself, and I have to throw days in the mix with everything else, is like there's good days and there's bad days. There were a couple of days this week that I was just banging my head against the wall. But there were other days that I thought were not the most horrible thing that I've ever seen. So
what days were you banging, Mike?
On the Rafe and Hope episode where everybody came, like Jillian said, the standalone episode did nothing for me. But there were other
things. Part of that is that they're getting ready for the Olympics.
Yes, but I think that's
standalone episode.
Obviously they are. No, not with a standalone they aren't. But I think in general, like, Sonny's coming back. That's a positive.
I was meaning it from a standpoint of as we're getting ready
right,
the Olympics,
Luke.
The Olympics are going to take off so much time.
Right.
So that rather than trying to do longer storylines that will be forgotten about after 2 or 3 weeks, they're doing this standalone episode so that it's self-contained and then they'll pick things up.
No, the standalone episodes are just this new thing that they're trying, which yes, are very much. Jillian is right. It's the In the Light episode from God and Light. But they
story
are
story
like,
within a story to try to highlight where the character.
They're shoring up storylines because of the Olympics. So that is definitely true. Ken Corday said as much in his Glamour, you know, his exclusive interview with Glamour magazine. I'm like, Stephanie Slowdim at Soap Opera Digest need to send them so much bad juju. Ain't nobody looking at Mademoiselle, Marie Claire, Glamour, Cosmo, and nothing else for no daytime soap exclusives, Ken Corday. You knew that woman wasn't going to know how to ask you any real questions about daytime. He's like, I got to go somewhere for this interview where they ain't going to ask me nothing about why I hired those chillers.
I got to go somewhere else where the heat's off so I can take the heat off.
But
yeah.
He did say in there that those babies are going to be backburned. And I was
hallelujah.
I was doing the electrics.
Yeah, he said they're going to be more integrated. So they're going to be backed off and integrated with their adult people.
That's why it was more enjoyable for me this
And that's
week.
What I've said. That's what I said a couple weeks ago. Like a month ago, we were talking about that. And Mike and I, we said the same thing. Like back in the day, in the summertime, they would have the teens on, yes, but they would have them on with the veteran cast, so you would be
or their little teen stories would be light, you know,
right?
It would be,
yeah,
you know, Michael and Christina are gonna open a beat shop or something, you know, but they thrust that little girl, that Sierra, into some heavy stories.
All of them.
She's not Kim Delaney. Now, if you have a teen cast like Agnes Nixon had back in the 80s with Kim Delaney and Lawrence Lyle
Darnell
Marcy Walker and Darnell Williams and Debbie Morgan, you can have those. I mean, basically, that team set became some of the biggest stars in the history of All My Children. And, you know, Erica Kane was a teen character at the beginning of the show. But to make that work, you have to cast really strong actors, and Days of Our Lives did not do that for this, you know, in that whole quartet or pentet, however you say it.
Well, given that, though, even if they did that and they cast them, you don't throw them into the heaviest, darkest stuff without any backup.
And
it's
that's
like
Josh Griffin.
Joey's a killer. Yeah. Sierra got raped. Chase is a rapist and killed his mother. I mean, there's like
Dina is catching most of the hell from it. And I, you know, I'm a Josh Griffith fan, but there's no denying he loves dark storytelling.
It's his MO.
And
it's okay,
you know,
but you got to spread it out a little bit.
Like he didn't have a Susan Haskell. He co-wrote Marty's Rape on One Life to Live with Michael Malone, and he had a Susan Haskell and a Roger Howarth. You had the actors to do the weight of that story. The moment he saw Vivian, Devante, JoJo, Casey, what's her last name? Whatever that baby name is, Giovanni, whatever. Bless her heart. It ain't her fault. She took a job. It is not my fault.
Now, can we get a bless her heart?
If I take a job at McDonald's and I don't know how to make a burger, that's not my fault. You know, she can't act. And you put her in these huge stories. We're going to rape her. We're going to have her fall in love with a grown man.
And her daddy's going to die.
We're going to have her run for Congress. I mean, what? No. That baby can barely say her ABCs.
They needed to thread her in there properly with the veterans and then summertime taper them off like they used to do.
The best one of the bunch is Joey, and they play him heavily with Patch and Kayla. And he's gotten a little wonky lately. I'm like, have you forgotten how to act, baby? You know, he started out pretty strong, but then he's running away in a cult. And then he killed Carly Corinthos. And then he's in a cult. And now he's, you know, it's like, what the hell, Josh and Dina? Y'all knew that was too much for them kids. When Sammy showed up, all Sammy wanted to do when she was a teenager was kiss that Allen boy who turned out to be a rapist. Then she had a crush on Austin. Then she hunched Lucas. Then she had a little eating disorder. But, you know, what I just described
was 4 or 5 years. Yeah.
It's like, look, Sierra got sore ass and they done 30 stories with her. That's too much. That's absurd.
Well, speaking of absurdity, Mel, a couple weeks ago, Katie cut Brooke out of her life. Ooh. And we said, well, how long will it take for them to get back together? And this week, they're already teaming back up. What are your thoughts on Bold and the Beautiful and Katie and Brooke?
Well, we knew it wasn't going to last long. I just didn't think it would be this fast that, hey, let's try and make up because we have to get Will back with Katie, which I'm okay with. But I felt like that was the strongest story this week on Bold and the Beautiful because, you know, the beginning of the week was kind of slow and then it picked up when Brooke, Katie, and Bill came on. And I felt like the scenes were really good. You know, it's about time that, you know, Brooke tries to do something other than steal Katie's husband for her. So, hey, let's try and get Will back for her. And she was like, no, you are going, she's talking to Bill and she's saying, you know, you are going to give that child back to his mother today. It is going
to
happen.
Didn't it feel very repetitive? I mean, remember the first time she broke up their marriage and then she was instrumental in helping Katie take the company away?
But they flipped it a little bit because Katie took the company away, but this speech that Brooke is giving Bill, she gave it to Katie when Katie was like, I'm not giving Bill shit and he can't see that little boy. And I don't think they've teamed up. I just think Brooke.
It was just kind of a.
They need to get Brooke needs a man of her own.
Yeah.
Either Brooke needs man or Katie, or they need to bring in a new man for Katie and put. Because my thing, it looks like Brooke is going back to Rich.
Would you like to see Jack Wagner come back?
He's on the heart. Where do Brooke Whitney Houston? Sorry. He got a job, Luke.
Ted King, like Jesus.
I want Ted King back on General Hospital.
This story is identical to the last time, except, you know, Jillian points out there are some nuances, but I was having the most ridiculous deja vu moment because she stood in that same office set preaching. I'm like, get out these folks' business, Brooke. I love Brooke Logan. You know, that's my girl. But I'm like, just get out these folks' business.
And that's why I feel as though they didn't team up because Katie told her, you are the reason that I don't have custody of my kid because you busted up my marriage, ho. So I don't think they're on the same side. I just think.
No, I feel you, but I'm just saying it's.
It's
repetitive. It's like, stop this same rodeo with these three characters.
Well, I feel
actually,
like
I have to give Luke props because he's the one that said it wouldn't last. And we are all like, nope, this looks.
Yeah,
this
you guys real, pretty much all real. Told me it's going to last forever. And I was like, it's going to be 2 weeks.
Here we are.
2 weeks later.
Mike, I want to get your thoughts on Quinn. Ugh. She's trying to get herself a trip to Monte Carlo.
You know what? She's not trying. She's doing. And this is what the thing is. I love Rena Sofer, and I want to like Quinn, but Quinn is so predictable. You know that when Wyatt went to her, why they had to tell her they're even leaving the country is beyond me. And left, you know that she was going to try to get her way over to Monte Carlo. There was just no way that she was just going to sit still because she's predictable. But I want to give props to Bold and the Beautiful. And I know this wasn't my question, Luke, but here it is. The Zendaya Nicole stuff last week. I am not the most romantic person in the world to watch that stuff. I fast forward through all that kind of stuff. But in that moment that they were together in that rich, beautiful house where the lighting was good, they were dressed nicely, they had servants taking care of their dinner. That was some old school Philly soap. I thought it was wonderful.
She has some bling on her. Look, she has some bling on her neck and some smoky eyes, and her hair was fried, dyed, and laid to the side. You know, that was old school soap.
It was beautifully romantic, and it was just really a pleasure to watch for a change.
Yeah, I was wondering what Mike's other half was going to say about that. We might have to find that out after the podcast.
Because I know I missed a couple. I have to go ahead and say I'm the lone dissenter, I guess. I'm enjoying Quinn's shenanigans now. As long as Quinn is.
It's funny.
You know, I like
it is funny, but it's predictable.
She's totally predictable. I like her with Eric, though. I like that she.
No,
Quinn is,
not Quinn sexy.
Yeah, you defended her. Jamie, you haven't missed a couple. You were here last week. You defended her last week.
I already came. It wasn't that great.
This is classic Eric Forrester. You know, Sheila. He hooked up with Sheila, Donna.
Oh, we said that.
The thing about it is, Brad doesn't really know if he wants. He's accomplishing a lot of old Bold and the Beautiful archetypes with Quinn. She's a little Sheila Carter because she'll throw you into the ocean or stab you with a knife.
She off a cliff.
Will
she be promoting avocados?
Yeah, shut up.
Come on, that was good.
She's a little Sally Spectra because Sally was always trying to.
Come on, Bucky.
She designs trashy jewelry.
Yeah, so she's a little Sally, like, oh, the Foresters are going to Abu Dhabi. Bucky, we're going to. So she's a little Sally. And then she's a little Amber, too. She's a little Amber Moore, like the little, I want to be Forester because I'm trash and I want
to
get.
She's a little bit like Stephanie, too. Stephanie meddled to the very end in Ridge's personal life. Like Quinn.
Yeah, you're right. She does. See? But yeah, she's kind of like. So in Rena Sofer, he's kind of.
Well,
it's like he
so
has
basically,
a Rubik's
basically
cube.
What you're saying is not only does Brad recycle scripts, he's figured out a way to get.
No,
I just want her to be a little bit more conniving and not so obvious.
And let me defend Brad on that. It's not about recycling. The Bells have always used archetype.
Recycle for the last 5 years.
As mad as I can get with Brad about the Katie Brooke stuff, I have to go, you know, especially, and Mike will attest to this, like, the Bells, more than any other soap writing family, love that incestuous family quasi-romantic shit. I mean, the first 10 years of The Young and the Restless, before there was a Victor or a Nikki, there were the Brooks sisters, and I wasn't born yet, but if you read any YNR history books or go on YouTube, it will make your head, like reading it'll make your head spin. It's like, okay, Lori and this one, like Lori and Leslie both like Lance, and then they both like the other one who also had an L name. It was like Lance and Lori and Luke. So I'm like, okay, were they the predecessor to Hope and Steffi and Wyatt and so,
Brooke and Taylor? You
know,
and
on World Turns was the same way. Yeah. World Turns for years. P&G soaps were very incestuous as well.
Yeah,
I don't think that's...
Mike and Ed Bauer would date and marry the same women. And, you know, they... So old school soaps... Really...
But I would... Wait. I would sort of argue that, at least with the P&G soaps that I remember, because I didn't watch Y&R back in the day, at least they came up with different premises for the characters, so that it wasn't quite the same.
Mike,
like, because
Mike's talking about before our time. We both started in '99 with the P&G soaps.
Okay, I guess what I'm thinking about is like with the characters, at least on As the World Turns and Guys
well,
Night later on,
then,
when they were doing the triangles, at least they would come up with different storylines.
Carly slept with both or married both Snyder brothers and Cutting Holden years later. Molly, her first cousin, had a baby with Cutting Holden.
And Lily was signed up.
But those are different. Those are different.
You are remembering As the World Turns through rose-colored glasses. They got repetitive with the hunching within families too. Katie was with Brad and Holden.
I am not denying any of that. All I would say in regards to that is that on As the World Turns, you had situations where the storylines would differ and they were longer than 6 months.
Also,
and so by the time they started recycling something, it didn't feel like it because it had been going on long enough.
20 more minutes.
I get what you're saying, but in the bigger picture, soaps aren't written that way anymore. And I think that's kind of the problem with the newer soap viewer versus the older soap viewer. Things just aren't the same.
Now,
and what you're talking about, what you're talking about is accelerated and one-dimensional. It's not...
I think all of us on here are in agreement that we get very tired of the repetitive situations on this show. But I'm just saying, to be fair to Brad, his father...
This is what this show is.
That's their archetype. And, you know, and that's the thing. It is... Bold and the Beautiful is closest to what it was in the beginning of any other show. It's like, sometimes I'm like, are we trying to make it something else? Because if you go back to season one, it was the Forresters and the Spencers and their dysfunction, their dysfunctional interrelationships. I mean, season one's big triangle was Caroline Spencer the First and her love triangle with Thorne and Ridge. And, you know, so in a way, Brad is keeping his show as
He's
consistent.
Keeping with the blueprint. Mm-hmm.
Now, unlike his dad, Brad will go on a... What Brad will do that will frustrate people, Brad is like 90% his father's son, and then he's 10% James Riley's son. So it's like he does these classic Bell soap tropes, but then he gets a wild hair, and it's like, I'm going to have a bitch throw somebody off a cliff. You know? And then it's like...
The thing is, it's fast. Like,
yeah.
Bill has always been kind of a hard ass, and I've always been able to kind of laugh at his just being Bill. But then he turns into this, just to suit the story, they kind of alter his character just a little, and he becomes this horrible, awful person to Katie. And then Brooke, I don't know. It's just like, I think it's like, they move the character, they shift them out of character just enough for the rest of the story
Brad's
to catch up to the
Brooke
character.
I prefer Bill Bell's Brooke Logan to Brad's any day. And I will say that. And I'm a fan of Brad, but Bill Bell saw Brooke Logan as Jill Foster.
This was the most assertive that I've seen her in months.
She was
months,
Jill
months.
Foster light. Brooke was, just like Jill Foster, was a girl from the wrong side of the tracks who dreamed of living on the hill with the Chancellors, so was Brooke. Bill Bell's version of Brooke was, you know, Marla Maples. I'm going to fuck my way into that fabulous family and have some babies, and I'm going to get a job. I'm a chemist. I'm going to school, and I'm going to create a wrinkle-free fabric, and then I'm going to take that company from that bitch who's been calling me a slut from the valley. She was a social climbing, on the make, you know, vixen. And then when she wanted to take your man from you, she would get in her panties and get in that steam room and be like, Taylor can't do it like this. Well, so now we have crying, weeping Brooke, who always has to be slut-shamed because of her frumpy, heart-sick sister. And I'm over that. And, you know, when it was Taylor who was her rival, she could be like, oh, shut up, Taylor. You're just mad because you can't keep Bridget home. Or if it was Stephanie, it would be the same thing. You're just Bridget, Stephanie. But because it's her little sister with a bad heart, she has to be all sad all the time. I'm sorry, Katie. Bill was hard. He had an erection.
I can't help myself.
I was wet, and we just rubbed against each other a little. It's like, ugh.
My legs just open. Well, I just don't know what's happening.
Ooh, Mel. That was good.
What? That is Brooke.
That was good.
I'm so sorry.
What's his name? Liam.
Open.
Liam being the moral majority, I'm like, boy, you have dated two stepsisters your whole adult life. You have ping pong. Look, Hope would be like, I got a headache. I'm going to marry your sister. I was late on the ski lift. I'm going to marry your sister. You know, it's like, but now you're preaching at Bill. It's like, ugh. Yeah.
Jillian.
Well, we Monte Carlo, we get a glamorous location shoot.
We get a glamorous location. This is the thing, though. We talk about, like, how we want realism, but then boy, when they put out the rich, wealthy,
I'm
wonderful
serious.
That you know, that whole
the
dinner
every
thing
time we get
they're going to Monte Carlo, that's kind of like, wow, I really miss the glamour and the glitz and the fur coats and the limousines.
When soap
every time we want to get mad at B&B, we need to think about that big green big lots.
Now we need to think about Kim Zimmer saying she changed in a Chevron or something.
Well, now that too, but I'm talking about we got something.
Alexandra Spalding.
They had Alexandra Spalding popping out of a bush.
I know. Do you remember, like, Lucinda Walsh? She had a butler, a secretary, a lawyer, a masseur, all around her.
Okay.
So at any given time that she was on screen, at least two of them would be around. You just felt her wealth all the time.
You know what, though? I'm going to have to cut for Ellen Wheeler.
I get it. It is what it is.
Listen, I would kill for a gif of Alexandra Spalding popping up.
Like,
I would kill for it.
I want to put it side by side. Garden Light Outside and that big green wall of grass on Days of Our Lives where everything happens now. I kind of would be okay with Outside. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
What about GHC Backlot?
Jamie, I think you're looking at it through rose-colored glasses.
I can't deal with that big green wall, Teresa. My baby's been kidnapped. Maybe it's in this big green wall.
So what do you think of General Hospital's Backlot?
I know people get mad because of the fact, like, so many of my industry friends texted me when they started it. And they were like, so what do you think about those palm trees in upstate New York and those Spanish tile houses? And I'm like,
yeah.
I don't give a shit. I'm sorry. Frank is a professional. At least, look, Frank has a lot of, like, I could do a podcast of Frank's faults. But one of his pluses is his outdoor scenes look pleasant. Everybody is well lit. So, yes, I know.
The sound is good. I have to admit, like, even on days when they did the outdoor scenes on the beach or wherever they are, they tend to that they're so much better. The quality of the outdoor stuff is so much better.
I don't mind Frank's out. Frank is really the only producer. Well, Brad, too. Frank and Brad are the only ones I want doing outside. But I do have some scoop since we're talking about this, Mike. The Young and the Restless. The Young and the Restless is going to be doing outdoor stuff, too.
Nothing makes me happier than a palm tree in Wisconsin.
Before we go outside on The Young and the Restless, I would just like us to
Luke's trying to
go back to the days where Nikki is in diamonds and they have the really wide shots and it's a little bit slower.
Okay.
And it was just wonderful.
Let me just,
I was going to cut for them because Mal Young has been, since he's been there, I've been noticing the long shots and shit that he's been doing. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm going to give him a chance.
Give him time, Luke.
Heard about the outside shots.
This has nothing to do with him. This is just, I would prefer that we go back to a style of the Young and the Restless that is more old school before we start worrying about doing new stuff that's supposedly innovative at the Young and the Restless.
Well, let me pause. Here's the thing. Mal Young is new in the U.S. Overseas, from what I gather, I don't watch those shows. Y'all comment in the comments. But when I have seen a YouTube clip of them, their outdoor stuff looks 10 times better than even The Bold and the Beautiful's in France.
Monte Carlo.
So I'm assuming if Mal is doing this, considering he was like the head of drama series for the BBC, it's not going to be akin to Ellen Wheeler, you will worship my God.
I know, but like, I'm even thinking about the General Hospital version. I don't want YNR to look like General Hospital.
It's okay.
They have a bigger budget.
It's the thing that we have to start doing. And, you know I can be the worst curmudgeon in the world, but wait till it's really bad before you go, oh my God, let's grunge.
I believe in preventative.
Well, I ain't gonna get no commentary. Scoops no more because I get something, here you go.
I am not grading what is coming up. I'm just saying I would love to see
it's
more
going
old school
to
wife.
Be an outdoor extension to Chancellor Park. Which...
I thought you meant they were gonna show more Chancellor Park, and that's when I first.
No, it's gonna be.
Luke's afraid it's going to be like Snyder Pond. It turns into Giant Lake.
I thought Al announced it on Twitter. I thought, wait a minute, y'all gonna be outside in that shit ass park. But I thought it was that shit ass park. But if you look at it, when from the moment he started and got the EP credit, he's been doing those classic shots. So I'm gonna give that cat a chance.
I am optimistic and hopeful because
my commentary was no reflection of him. I'm just saying I would like to see more old school.
Jillian, I have more YNR scoop. First of all, Luke, when will this podcast go up? Because you have to make
it's sure. going up. It's going up tomorrow.
Tomorrow when?
Monday in the morning. It's going to be midnight tonight. I'm editing as soon as
Okay, so spoiler alert. So CBS Daytime heard us loud and clear, and not just us on DC, I mean the fandom, about Jill Farren Phelps' funky, skunky redo of Chancellor Mansion. Funky, skunky, dunk, drunk, stank, booty mess that she did, and now she is out the door. So, anyway, not just because of that, because I also heard Jill was doing, like, banker's hours. I heard she was coming in at 8 in the morning out by I heard Jill was getting ghost. I heard it was like, Jill, where you at? I'm at the house. Where you at? Jill was working from home. She was telecommuting.
She's like Victoria Newman. She's like out at the Travis at the bar dancing.
And you know what? And this is how I know this is true, because I also heard it when she was at GH. All of this is so hard for a woman. The GH actors didn't know how to act, because when Frank came there, Frank was on that doggone set more than the jam.
What Bradford Anderson said.
They didn't even know how to take it. You know, Frank is sitting there mopping the floor at the end of the night. What you doing? Give me that. Put that Snicker raffle paper in here. You know. Whereas Jill.
Put that Clorox in this water. Hurry up.
Executive producer of every soap opera that ever went off the air, Jill Farren Phelps, be trying to do 6-hour work days like she live in Sweden or somewhere. Anyway, she gone.
6-hour work weeks?
6-hour work days. She be trying to get in and out. Like,
I'm okay
hey,
with
Jill,
that.
No, I'm not okay with it. You make it
bullshit. And I left.
I'm talking about myself, my own
person. Oh, yeah.
I'm an executive producer for daytime television then. So, back to the scoop. So... tomorrow.
Oh, that was my hint on Twitter.
Jill Foster Fantabulous Abbott is gonna magically. I'm not gonna spoil it all, but let's just say K Chancellor's house is gonna start to look very familiar after tomorrow's show. With
you gave too much of a scoop, because like on Twitter, I had tweeted out, Juan, our troll game is strong, boy. Because I'm like, I saw the episode. Don't ask me how, that ain't none of your business. I saw the episode and I was like, I hollered because I was like, ooh, y'all.
They are making a decided effort, and that was a CBS Daytime decision. They do hear the fans. It's not saying that everything the fans want you get, but when you do something that egregious, like what, and the thing of it is, and I applaud CBS Daytime and Angelica McDaniel for this, because as a fan of pretty much every soap opera that has ever been on the air, except for Search for Tomorrow Day Tonight, I'm sorry, Jay Bernard. I love you, Jay Bernard. I didn't watch the shows, though. My grandmama did.
Oh, no, you can't disregard Ed Tonight.
I don't disregard him. I just never saw him. But no, I am saying, though, all the ones that I've watched where she was the executive producer, she always makes sweeping changes, and I don't mean just changes to the all executive producers make changes, but Jill just has this way of just deciding that she is going to overhaul
look what she did to the Port Charles Grill and turned it into the Metro Port.
I mean, she just does that type of stuff, and
her thing is
I can train you to like what I like. And it's
she got that from Paul Roush, because she said in an interview that she kept saying this stuff, the old timer from the old school. So I figured that was Paul Roush, that Paul pretty much gave her that advice that if you, you know, do something like that, they'll still watch. If they bitch about it, even if you do something and they bitch about storylines and complain about it, that proves that they're still watching. So keep on. And I'm like,
well, after he stamped out that cigar at the end of my beloved Santa Barbara, executive producer, I think anybody should have said, maybe I should adjust my... I mean, Paul Roush, I'm not going to dog him like that, because Paul Roush was a wildly successful producer. Yes, he was. 8 years in Another World wouldn't have happened without him. He's the one who gave One Life to Live, all that big splashy stuff, and Eterna, and all that good junk. But you only finish as strong as you finish. And come on now. Paul was not still. If you want to benchmark Bill Bell and Agnes Nixon, Doug Marlin, that's the names I got for you.
Jillian.
I'm tearing up folks' beloved mansions. And I applaud CBS for being the first network to actually say, after they showed her the door, we have to make a decided effort to correct her arrogance.
It's okay to change things, but you can't alienate people. That's like an icon to a lot of people that have been watching for a long time. So even if Billy got it, the thing would be like, I want to make some changes.
You bring in new furniture.
Yeah, make some gradual changes, but you just don't. Yeah, it's like an insult almost. So yeah, I get it.
Jillian, Victor had some problems this last week. Chelsea ripped into him, and Chloe was a little bit of a spitfire.
Victor never has problems, Luke, ever.
Touche. Jillian, what'd you think?
I thought it was good. I thought Lizzie Hendrickson, once again, Lizzie is holding her own up again. She's like, well, Lizzie always can, but Lizzie held her own and then some up against EB. And then Chelsea came in there with that little scalpel and was like, I will change you from a rooster to a hen, bitch, if you don't give me them papers for my boy, for my baby. And Victor's like, D-d-d-d. And Victor, well, you could tell Victor's starting to get a little shook. Because Victor, you know, when Victor's back is up against the wall, he reveals nothing. He let it slip that he did not mean for all this to happen, which is a classic Victor Newman scheme. The plan will be going according to plan, and then it goes left, and Victor's like, ah, shit, I gotta jump in and save the day. And he slipped and was like, I didn't mean for it to go this far. I wanted him to be taught a lesson. If I was Chelsea, I'd have cut him just a little bit just to do that. I'd have been like, you bitch. But I thought it was good. And Victor just needs his just rewards. Like, I was enjoying him being in prison. It's just, it took a real funky turn when they had him with Dr. Thought Devin, you know, hunching in there, and then him scheming on the outside and shit. It just made him like Stefano 2.0 Genoa City version with that. With he could, you know, he's still powerful in from the inside. He's so powerful he couldn't stop from being shanked in that prison. I'm like, get out of here.
But, Mel, I know that Sharon was giving you heartburn this last week.
So why do they keep doing these things to my Sharon? Why? So Sharon decides this week that because Mariah Cassie knows about her secret about Sully, how that's not her baby.
What's her name, man?
Mariah Cassie. That's her
I thought
name.
She said Mariah Carey from it. I was like, she was singing in a love, but no.
Her name is Mariah Cassie. Okay. Hmm. So, she decides she don't want her there anymore. She should get her own place, meet her friends, quote unquote, that she doesn't even have. But okay, fine. So she's like, okay, all right, fine, mom, I'll go. I'll move out. She'll go talk to Kevin, try to get a place with him, blah, 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 so on and so forth. Hey, she found somewhere to live. She comes back. She gets her stuff. She's trying to get out. Here comes Sharon. Why are you leaving? Where are you going? Faith is going to miss you. Don't leave. I don't want you to go. Sharon,
meet
10 minutes
family.
Ago. Didn't you just say she had to get her shit and get the hell out? You ain't got to go home.
She clocked her in the head. I'd have bounced too. You can only do that one time without busting your ass, mama or not.
So then, she was trying to get that girl to join Cassie.
So then Sharon ends up going to the coffee house and she decides that she's going to talk to Abby about what's going on with Stitch and about having another baby and giving people relationship advice. Sharon, this is not for you. I don't want you to give nobody any relationship advice. I don't want you to do that. So then they're talking and she's like, well, I wanted to have this Abby. I wanted to have another baby with Stitch, but he don't want to do it and I just don't understand. And Sharon's like, oh, having another baby just really fixed everything for me. Lie. Lie. It was really great. I mean, it didn't take the place of Cassie, but, you know, it really helped everything. Lie. But, you know, that's fine. So I'm just like, why are we doing this? Why? Let's find something else for Sharon to do. That sounds like a great idea.
Listen,
I like
Sharon Case is loving that shit, girl. So I'm like,
all she got to do is
House sexist.
She's like, I bought a new car.
That is, Wayne is so doggone sexist
right
now. I don't even know. I mean, it's like, it's not 1950s, Chuck Pratt. You know, a girl wants more than her Bose Letterman jacket and a pen and his seed in her belly to be okay with life. Abby, last time I checked, is perhaps she is one of the wealthiest people in Genoa City. She inherited the entire Carlton fortune. She got $500 million from Victor. There's not something else Abigail Carlton Newman Rayburn could be focused on other than...
Well, maybe she's bored.
Having Stitch another baby that might have that same genetic tumor that caused that other one to try to
it's
kill us.
It's not that tumor. That's all I want to keep saying. It's not that tumor.
I'm so tired of this whole, women are just stupid and need to have babies. And if they're fucking, they can't manage a company. And, you know, my poor Lord of Devon done gave up her. Look, she done risked it all. Victor sat up there in front of the judge, the magistrate, Congress, and said, yes, you know that doctor in the hospital, I mean, when I was in the prison hospital, she was trying to goose me. She was in love with me. So you done ruined this woman's career. She done risked her freedom committing felonies, and then he's like, thanks, baby girlfriend, I'm going to go back with Nikki. I know everybody doesn't like her, but I'm just going to say, it would be classic soap if Victor and Nikki were getting ready to have their latest vow renewal ceremony, and they're up there for, you know, and everybody, you know, they're back together, they're happy. She needs to show up with a belly full of babies.
I already told
she
you.
She needs to show
don't
up.
Need no baby.
I don't care about all of that. I'm not worried about does Victor need a baby. Let's look at reality. Sumner Redstone, Donald Trump, all of these old, ridiculous megalomaniacs have babies with young women. You know, Sumner Redstone, you know, he can't even say his ABCs, but he had a woman at the end of his life.
Look at Rupert Murdoch.
Murdoch. This is my wish, is that Victor, that Nikki does all this stuff, and that when it comes time to do it, Victor looks at her and has said, "Thank you for helping me get out of prison. Get the fuck away from me, you drunk ass bitch," and kick her to the curb. That's what I want.
And then I will have Nikki listen to Lemonade and grab hot dogs and beat the shit out of
I'd love that too, but you know, they did this whole story, so follow it through. They, you know, bring her back in a couple of months, like Tina Lord showed up with that baby at somebody's wedding, No One Life to Live. She don't have to show up with a baby.
Cord.
She just needs to show up with a big stomach.
With a big belly with all the Newmans and all of Genoa City gathered. And then after that, Leanna Love gets the exclusive on Victor.
Okay, now you're getting ridiculous.
That is how they used to do it. Leanna Love led a campaign against men in the 80s. They used to make they used to make you believe that the tabloids were always over the Newmans. So after she ruins Victor and Nikki's wedding, there needs to be a press conference where Leanna Love is leading it. And, you know, everybody in Genoa City would lose their mind. Ashley, Jack, if Leanna shows up, anytime there's a Newman scandal, Leanna used to be on it. I'm like, where you been, Leanna? Victor been doing all kind of kooky stuff.
They really should have Victor live up to that name that he picked. And they really should. I'm not asking for Nikki to be like, "I am woman, hear me raw, burn bras." But for my girl to sit up in that courtroom and be cool and know, because we all know Nikki knows that Victor fucked that hoe in jail. For her to be cool with it, no, that's not kosher.
Nikki was disgusting this week. Nikki, Nicholas, and Victoria are all disgusting.
You know what? I was on that train of like the whole, you know, Nikki and Victor get together. And I'm like, I get the warm fuzzy. Not anymore. I'm done with them.
That was so egregious.
They have killed and beat this couple into the ground so badly that I don't even want to see Nikki on my screen. That's how I feel.
It's not about the actors or the characters.
I get
it's
it.
It's about the fact that they are jumping through hoops to make it like Victor is the victim. And that is gross. That is doing a disservice to that character. It's doing a disservice to the show. I don't care that Eric Braeden always wants Victor to win. Who gives a fuck? Someone needs to say no.
That's okay, bitch. No. Yes.
Victor is going to have... Yes, he went to prison, but he has not for 1 second owned what he did to Jack.
The only person he owned it with was Noah, and that boy is sorely lacking. That's the only person that Victor said
Phyllis seem like a lunatic because she wants someone to go to prison
and Jack a pussy.
And the thing of it is, when it all comes out that she has been sleeping with Billy, they better not flagellate Phyllis. Phyllis needs to look Jack in the eye and says, "Yes, I screwed your brother because he had a dick and a pair of balls. You didn't, because you let your arch enemy for 30 years, you wanted to destroy this man for taking your little lipstick company away from you and taking Nikki back away from you. But he had a man rape me, a murderer."
You were talking about whether it's the 50s. I'm sorry, go ahead. I thought you were
I'm like, Jack Abbott has been singing Kumbaya after all of these years of hating Victor. Phyllis, we need to just let it go and live our best life. I've been reading The Secret, and we need to just live a better life. You need to let it go. You couldn't let it go when he took your company away. He took that woman's safety away from her, her sense of well-being. And
in the worst possible way.
Jack has been ruined by the story. Victor, I will say this, Eric Braeden gives a boffo performance every day. Yeah. He commits to the material. Some of the rest of them feel like they're zombie walking. You know, I think Gina's giving a boffo performance. But I feel like, you know, Melody, Josh, and Amelia are kind of just like, when are they going to stop writing our family like cartoons? And until they are, we're just going to say these lines that we have to say every year. And my thing is, someone needs to step in, whether it be Mal, Angelica. The next time, you know, if Chuck pitches, I think Victor should have a plane flown into Abbott Tower. Someone needs to say no, Chuck, because here's what's really been happening. Ever since Maria got there and Victor started going way more cartoonish with her, and each subsequent regime comes in promising to change it, to do something else, but they keep having Victor do more and more heinous stuff that he never did under the Bill Bell years. He was ruthless in the old days.
I will give Eric props, though, because I've seen Eric tweet out some stuff. I don't think he likes it either. I think even Eric is like, okay, this is some bullshit even for Victor.
It's a perfect storm, because what happens is, yeah, I don't think Eric likes when they have Victor do that kind of crazy stuff. But Eric does not ever want to let Victor show contrition. So what ends up happening...
He put himself in this position pretty
well. Well, not really him. It's like the writer decides, I'm going to have Victor drown everybody in the ocean. And then it's like, well, we have to redeem him because he's the star of our show. And then Eric is like, nope. I'm not going to play Victor saying I'm sorry. So it's like we get a cartoon. So stop having him do, for 20 years on this show, Victor just took your woman and took your company. Yeah, he put that dude in that rat cellar at the beginning. That's what Maria used to justify whenever she started coming, you know, on and making him super crazy again. It's like, yeah, but once Bill Bell realized, this is going to be my... this is going to be my protagonist. Then all Victor really did in terms of being ruthless was take your company and take your woman's draws. Now he does ridiculous stuff every sweeps period. You know, this whole one-upmanship with him and Adam, this character used to simply be a corporate raider. That was interesting enough for Bill Bell to take this show to an 8.0 in the Nielsen's and had 11 million people watching. But these subsequent regimes are bored by that. That's the real inherent problem with The Young and the Restless. Jill was bored by it. I know Chuck is bored by it. They don't want to write a corporate soap opera that is a mix of romance and corporate intrigue. That's boring to a Chuck Pratt, because a Chuck Pratt wants someone to be able to pull off her wig and show a crazy scar and be crazy. That worked on Melrose Place, but this is not Melrose Place. Melrose Place was a primetime soap with a shelf life. You can have someone do something outrageous and crazy and blow up the building because it's only going to run 6 or 7 years. This is The Young and the Restless. This is a forever character on the show. You cannot have your Victor Newmans coming in and doing stuff like that. Bill Bell had those type of characters. David Kimball, Sheila Carter. But they weren't forever characters on the show.
No, they had a shelf life.
They came in. They had an arc. Their arc might run a year. It might run 2 years. But Sheila was the first time, and he said this in interviews, where he was like, you know what? Because Bill Bell believed that a villain should be punished. Whenever the mega villain started with Stenbeck and Stefano and all that, Bill Bell gave interviews to the soap press saying he did not believe in that. That a true demonic evil villain should be punished by death or jail. Sheila was the first time that he said, this motherfucker is so popular, I'm going to have to figure out how to spin her off. Nowadays, there is no, wow, Sheila's really special, so we got to figure out how to keep her. They do it with every ridiculous villain. Ian Ward comes back every 3 months. Why? He's not a Sheila. I'm just going to say this for you, The Young and the Restless brass. He's not a Sheila. He's not even a Mary Jo.
You know, here's the other thing, too, and this is the thing among all the soaps. It's okay to have characters go. It's really okay to have an arc where somebody's on for 3 or 6 months or a year and come and go and is integrated into the bigger, into the smaller group of people that's your core. And you know this, Victor is on the top of my hate list. I never felt like that. I used to like Victor because he had a heart and there was, as ruthless as he was, as ruthless as he was, now he says, I do everything for my family. Yeah. I used to see it. Now he just says
it.
That's
absurd. There's no reason for him to bring in a serial killing drug dealer for his family because of Norton antivirus. That was just saying that makes me just like, stop saying it. I actually wish they would just act like it never happened. Just act like it's Lumina on General Hospital. Never mention, just stop. Don't even mention the fucking Marco story. Because every time he says, I did that for my family, it's like, shut up, Victor. No, you didn't. That's absurd. You did not need to protect Newman Enterprises
that
much.
And he keeps bringing up that he grew up as an orphan. It's like, no, you never used to bring that shit. You never used to talk about that.
Oprah Winfrey grew up poor and got molested by her family members and became a millionaire. And I don't see her running around stealing, you know, having Barbara Walters replaced with doppelgangers. I'm sorry. That's stupid.
Mel, did you want to weigh in on this before we move to General Hospital?
No, go ahead, GH.
Jillian, I wanted to ask you, what did you think this last week of Parker and Christina?
Cat scratch fever.
Well, I was going to try a while back. I was going to try and use the no dick. Oh, it's going to be the title, but initially I was going to try and use the transition when Jamie was talking about no dick and balls, but that didn't quite work. So what did you think, Jillian?
I'm like, Christina is just busting it wide open. She is like, I am exploring every avenue. The other day she dropped it on what that child name is. What is his name? Aaron, and she just
forward,
forward. Brother number Frank four. Himbo, the himbos of Valentini, the himbo
Aaron, the chest,
the frame fires.
Frank, just at least let him stop. Let me tell you, Frank. Let me say this to you, Frank. Stop making them.
We know you're listening.
Stop making them shave their chest, Frank. If you, we want the himbo,
and let them have some scruff once in a while.
Let the himbos have hair on their chest. Morgan,
and their faces once in a while.
Fine, but Morgan, you could see, he had razor bumps.
Some of them need to be shaven. Some of them
You're
could be
talking
all right.
about manscaping. That's a totally different thing, but it's whole like.
Oh, listen, let me tell you.
Frank, not plucked
Frank
like a chicken is
Frank
not a good
shave. Like
if
chicken.
Frank is listening, he's paying attention now more than any other time we're talking about.
Just like
listen,
hair is
Frank
a natural thing.
His Frank box.
I don't
nice
want a taco.
Like
I do not want taco meat on
There's
somebody.
Nothing wrong with a little bush. I'm just saying. I mean, they don't all have to look like they just came out of their mother. Go ahead. Back to you, Julie.
You speak for yourself. I don't want taco meat. Thank you. I like how they have Christina exploring her sexuality. It's amazing, and it isn't the typical story where you can be like, her teacher took advantage. That girl pounced on Parker. She pounced like a panther.
Teacher,
as soon as she heard she was divorced, it was like going through a divorce. She's like, okay, let's go. Come on.
Oh shit, girl, let's go.
And then she got sprung.
Huh?
What you say, Mel? She got sprung up on her. She was like, I know the difference between making love and having sex now, and now we can be together.
Look,
and
that
Parker little was like,
boy didn't put nothing on her because she did say that, Mel. She was like, ooh, I know. Look, Parker got skills.
Yes.
Christina is like,
Mel, tell him what you tweeted out today about how Christina's ready to get married, and Parker said,
It's true. Yeah. Christina was all, yes, I want to be together. We can be together now. I know you love me. You love me. And she was like, Parker was like, no, I don't. Because I got to go home now. And you can figure this out by yourself.
Booty call, girl.
Christina done got on the internet and booked them a Lilith Fair concert.
And Parker was like, it was just the booty call. That was
Christina done. She done put up the announcement, we're registered at Williams-Sonoma, and Parker is like, wait a minute now, I just wanted my itch scratched, bye ho. Like,
she didn't want her pipes
it was
clean.
Just the pipe.
Oh, Michael, well, look, since you're not really my brother, can we borrow your sperm, because we finna have a baby over here.
Yeah, like, she was just like, it was just, well, Michael is her cousin, so that would be cool. No,
oh,
no.
Oh,
No.
Hey, but you know, Big Daddy was lurking around the corner.
Sonny bust up with
this. He doesn't miss much. Big Daddy's everywhere, and Big Daddy lurking around the corner.
You're right. Sonny, when they get ready to have the ankle.
Sonny was like, oh shit, what the fuck? Sonny
can be like, Parker, you want some of my spur?
I'll be your donor.
That is fertile myrtle right there. Like, Christina, she...
Sonny could start a doggone fertility clinic.
Him and Liz!
Uh-oh, here we go.
She can too. Fancy, I love Sonny.
Listen, Carly's the straight-up hoe, so let Carly do it.
I love my Liz, but Carly marries well. Liz has not learned.
No, I was meeting for fertility purposes.
Liz kind of fits in that category, though.
Jackpot with Jason. The other two were scrubs.
Well, speaking of scrubs, Jamie, I wanted to ask you, because maybe three, four weeks ago, you were talking to me about the character of Carlos and what was coming down the pipe. And now Puss in Boots.
I told you. So let the record show, people out there who can't hold a secret. I knew about that, and I kept it to myself.
Yes, he specifically told me. He says we can't discuss this.
You can't talk about it, because I was so mad when I heard.
It's ridiculous. Stupid. Once again, General Hospital is casting pointless characters, and they're killing.
It's ridiculous. No, it's not the pointless. It's not that. It's like, well, no, but then let me finish. It's once again Frank will kill them off, and then he brings them back as somebody different, and it's like. You now see, you can't blame the writers to a degree. This is Frank because...
No, you can't blame the writers on this at all. No, this was Frank's decision.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can't, and even if it is the writer's idea, Frank is their boss. He could say no. So it's oh my God, the twin.
Between the Frank bots, between the pointless castings, and then the bringing back of the same actor to play different roles, General Hospital is going off the rails.
I disagree. Casting. Everybody else talking, then I'll.
I'm not talking storylines. No, I'm talking casting.
Okay, Mel, what do you think about it? Then I'll wrap because I have to dissent. Go ahead.
They've been doing it a lot lately, and I don't know about y'all, but especially with Michael Easton, I look at him, I go, okay, who are you playing today?
I like him as Finn.
Jarvis Bay,
like
Silas, Caleb Morning, shit, what's your name on this show?
What's my name again?
His motto should be, say my name, say my name.
Luke and I are thinking alike, and that's really bad.
I do like him as Hamilton Finn. I think this is pretty good. Because all the other ones, he always was brooding and but now he's kind of fun and quirky, so I don't mind that. But it's like Frank is running on fumes, but the show has been a little tough. I enjoyed this week. The show was tough this week.
Okay, I'm going to say, write this down. Because ever since Rod Carlovati was fired, I have been mad at General Hospital. I ain't going to lie. I've been wanting to torch them. But something happened when I wasn't paying attention, really. And then just the rest of the world went crazy, obviously. This has been a really rough summer. And I just started watching GH. Not watching it as a blogger because I hadn't been blogging a lot lately either. And I just started watching soaps just to stay up on them because I knew that, these sabbaticals don't last. General Hospital for me, Jamie Shamar Giddens, is the most enjoyable daytime soap on the air this summer. I am enjoying 90% of the show. This Cassadine adventure, I tell you, I would... finance. What? I would buy Ken Corday some new golf clubs if
you like
watch
porn
this.
Stash Cassadine.
He does have a porn
stash Cassadine.
It's going to be a hard decision for the title. Cat Scratch or Porn Stash Cassadine.
I love him. I think he is old school soap villain. He is the type of villain that soaps need. I find him menacing. I find him lethal. I don't find him silly, giggling and laughing like that silly-ass Ian Ward on The Restless.
See, he's tough that the Ian second Ward, Ava rubbed up against him, he forgot his mind and decided to get out of here.
Mike. Ava Jerome told me to tell you she can put you in budget control if you
That's a man. For you.
I get Jillian. I am with you. That is the first thing I thought. I was like, oh.
Hey, but Mar West might make me look twice. Hey, Mar West is va 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 boom.
I mean, even if it wasn't Mar, well, I don't know about that. But Ava
Jerome got that sex appeal, and when she told him, "Look at her," I loved it because Ava feels like Ava again. She don't feel like some ridiculous. We don't know what to do with her. When Ava said, "Oh, I understand all about, you know, being a bastard who wants to get up in their family. Google me."
Said, "Google me," I was like, "Bitch, like, you are the only one
who knows how to text."
If he's a criminal worth his salt, he's going to know who the Jerome, at least might have a hint of a Jerome.
He said he knew who the Jerome was. He said he knew her.
Was a sexy scene, though. I'm sorry.
Oh, totally. I get that, but it's just like...
I love Umbrella Stories. Days of Our Lives used to be the best at that. Cruise of Deception, Miami Story. I love that they're all on Cassidy Island, and it's like a big adventure, and Lulu and Dante show up, and Lulu escapes, and she runs over Alexis's mama's corpse, and, you know,
How about Lulu getting lost like 5 feet in the tunnel? It's like, girl, come on. Seriously.
What do you expect?
You know, they threw fake Nicholas off the cliff because y'all know he was only there to like... and people have been saying, somebody tweeted me, well, why would they bring him on for that if they were just going to fake his death again? Okay, here's some little inside baseball.
He had to come back as Tyler Christopher. That's why.
Thank you, Mel. But the main thing is... Tyler had to take his leave of absence abruptly, so they couldn't just, they probably would have written him off anyway, but they were like, oh, we already have stuff written. So, you know, he was gracious enough to stop teaching Kelsey Grammer's ex-wife how to swim and come on and, you know, pinch him. And now he's gone.
Now he's back in the pool.
And we have a new...
Now he can't swim.
Now we have a new Cassidy. He's sexy. Everybody who watched All My Children remember when he was Will Cortland and he raped Haley and Janet from another planet busted him upside the head with a crowbar. He is a quintessential soap villain. He still has it. Other soaps were hot for him. He was this close to being Adam Newman on The Young and the Restless, but they said he was too old, which was true.
He is.
Exactly what GH needs. We have been begging, pleading like Keith Sweat, like Freddie Jackson, like Anita Baker. I apologize. We've been begging Laura Spencer to get a story. Laura is on fire.
She was really good this week.
And Laura West and her together were so good this week. This is what I needed Laura to do. Like, what do you mean Nick's dead? Come on, he's died like 5 times. Just come back when
she gave you performance, honey.
She really did. I'm not taking away from what
you have to buy it every time. And I pride her for that because Lord knows after 40 years on soaps, how many times has she had to do that? He's dead now. She has had to do it 80 times and she still got it.
Here's the thing. You know what?
Somebody told her, girl, we're going to give you $8 million for your next Nutrisystem commercial. Jenny Francis showed up and showed out.
Yes.
She did it really well with Mara West because the way Mara West handled her, too, with the loss of the kid, it was great. And the thing is, it's like how many times have we watched an actor or an actress try to do the ugly cry and it's just been so ugly
and
painful.
Kevin is like,
you know what? She did it.
Laura, and I want to see why Luke called her an angel. And I'm going to take
a bullet. Kevin didn't even get any dussy and took that bullet.
Parker and Christina's dialogue was so mature and well written and didn't feel like it was pandering or stupid like they sometimes do. You know, the diversity checkbox. Oh, let's tell a story for the gays, the blacks, or the lesbos. That whole conversation felt real for me. it was like, this girl is like, I'm confused, but I don't think I'm confused no more. And then Parker's like, so you really a lesbian? Well, why we gotta label it? Everybody goes through that shit. How many gay
couples? I was going to say, that's very, you know, very realistic.
We barely can, you know, when we first start to come to terms. I'm bi, ain't bi nowhere. Ain't bicycle, ain't bi nothing. Christina, no.
Oh,
she.
Oh, Jamie. Christina, are you sure you want to go there?
Christina, no, she like Kitty. Yes, I do. I'm not saying all bisexuals are like that, but Christina is not a bisexual. I'm just saying Christina told the woman. I ain't never had it like that.
Like that? Yeah, she was
like, bisexual, to my understanding, it's like, I like it equal. I like life as a buffet. I like chicken. I like beef. Christina was like,
She gave up sausage.
Christina's like, I had chicken. I had beef. But I really like tuna fish. It's what I'm trying to say.
I like salmon.
Come on, Liz has a new sister, potentially, right?
Liz and Franco, as wrong as it is, there are 85 reasons why it shouldn't happen. They have incredible chemistry.
You know what? They won me over this past week, I must admit, because I thought, I still think it's kind of crazy that you're with the man that fucked with your son.
You could have chemistry with a doorknob. It doesn't mean you need to date
one. It's creepy, but I feel like Roger Hallworth is enjoying this, and I can tell that he's enjoying it. So he's making his performances
and
better.
And here's the thing. Yes, I was grossed out by it too, but I'm being a hypocrite because I can count to 50 times I've liked similar stories on Daytime.
Carl and Rachel.
Carl.
Roger and Holly.
Carl Hudson.
Jennifer and Jack.
Jack didn't do nothing to Jennifer. He raped
I know, but he was still a rapist.
He raped Kayla. I mean, that's yes. I'm not diminishing that, but he didn't do nothing bad to Jennifer. Jennifer. But,
we're talking about the people who did something.
Roger and Holly, look, I knew their history. I knew how wrong it was. But when Roger and Holly made love, when somebody had kidnapped them, and he told her, Holly, it's like the end of the world. And I was like, ooh, they're going to screw. And they screwed. And I think I started puberty that day. So,
you bet to yourself, sir.
Roger and Holly had the heat. And I knew very well how they started. You know, so... the greatest story in Daytime ever to be told, Luke and Laura, he raped her on a dirty disco floor, and they got a big soap opera wedding.
It doesn't mean that it's right.
And Luke tell it, Helena Cassidy made that wedding iconic.
You are absolutely right, Mike. I don't think Daytime needs to continue having characters that have done anything quasi-related to rape redeemed anymore. I hope that they never do it again. I hope that Franco and Thomas on B&B and this stupid Marco stuff.
They've changed it on B&B.
Well, yeah, B&B did the old, but you know, GH did the same thing. Gloria Monty redid that whole thing and was like, oh, that was a seduction. I'm like, hey, Monty, you're a queen. You know, that was before my time, but I ain't never heard of no woman wanting to be seduced on a nasty-ass disco floor. You know what people do in discos? But Michelle Valjean, when she took over as head writer, said, BS, that was rape, and we're going to revisit it and call it what it was. I'm hoping...
Well, my thing is that I don't like Franco. I just don't like the character, so I don't like him with Liz. Just because they have great chemistry doesn't mean that they need together.
I get Luke on his show, but it is what it is. He is here. He is beloved. Roger Hallworth. Franco is not beloved. Roger Hallworth is one of the best actors in the game.
He is. He really is.
Already been retconned. GH is not going to let him go because of the fact that he shouldn't have been crazy. It is what it is. And I'm going to go forward allowing him, for me, to be redeemed, because it doesn't matter. We can keep doing this for 5 years. He shouldn't have been brought back as Franco. Well, no, he shouldn't have. John Black shouldn't have been changed from Forrest Alamein, but he was.
Or Roman. Roman to John.
Oh, no, you're a liar. I love Wayne Northrup now. With my turn to head, Jerry Curl, Roman came back. I wish he would come back again and say,
on that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DCConfidential. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.